Greetings, we are the Boss Prophets and the Generals, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly supernatural word of empowerment.
We decree by the power of God that what you are about to hear will begin to shift you into
your new season.
Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
And that's why it's imperative to stay our eyes to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God. If I titled this message today, I would call it Race Issues Are Invisible Issues. I mean, that's good. We need politics. Politics has a place in our American culture, our American society, and so forth. But when it comes to the house of God, and it comes to the things of race, and it comes to the things of the Spirit, and it comes to the house of God, all of this marching and protesting is going to have little effect, little effect. Glory to God. I'm going to read Genesis 9. I'm going to start at Genesis 9, 21 through 27. Genesis 9, 21 through 27. Let me see. Genesis 9, 21 through 27.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It says, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. The Bible goes on to say, and Noah awoke from his wine and knew his younger son had, and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall be unto his brethren. This is where a lot of theologians and educators, they say that this is where the black man comes from, Africans come from. It says, and cursed be Canaan. You'll know who Canaan is. Canaan was the son of Ham. He was the son of Ham. Also, it talks about how the Africans come from this. We, of us who are African-American or our bloodline, it traces all the way back to this. And it says, he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall be unto his brethren. It says, and he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. Now watch this. Watch this. And blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his slave. Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his slave. This is what they say for those of us who are African American. Our descendants come from this, and this is what a lot of theologians term why a lot when it comes to different races and comes to African Americans and it comes to Caucasian people. It talks about how he was going to bless one of his seeds, but the other seed was cursed. Now this is Old Testament, but I'm just giving you some background knowledge of the Word of God, and even far as historically, we are now under the blood. African Americans, Caucasian people, European people, we're under the blood. The curse has been broken by Jesus Christ. But I'm just giving you some understanding. I had a daughter call me up the other day and said, Dad, why are we hated so much? She's an African-American young woman. She said, why are we hated so much? And I began to tell her about Noah and the Bible and the things of God, and also begin to tell her other things. But I had to break it down and let her know that a lot of times it's not that on the surface of it, it's not that we are hated because we are inferior, far as if you talk about race. We're not hated because we're inferior or things of that nature, because as you see, African Americans came up with a lot of inventions and things of that created a lot of medicines, made a lot of marvels, and great feats in science and so forth. So mentally, and we're not inferior. Physically, you can definitely see we're not inferior when it comes to sports and things of that nature. You got different basketball players, football players, and so forth. So it's not necessarily that, but it is the person that looks at the skin color, really, they admire you for your beauty. They admire you in this misplaced admiration. They truly admire you, but they don't know how to admire you, but through how they were taught, through racism, and that racism comes out as hatred. Racism is a spiritual thing, but it's also a learned behavior.
Amen.
I don't know if you hear me today.
Amen.
Racism is a spiritual thing, because even as you trace it back into the biblical passages of the Word of God, you can see this when it says that he said, cursed. He said, cursed. He cursed him and commended him to be the slave of his brother. But this thing is spiritual, and it's also a taught and a learned behavior. You wonder why when the Caucasian police officers that just got shot, they just got killed, and they got one of the I remember hearing that one of the cops had a baby boy or little children. Unfortunately, if the mom or the grandparents or whoever's in that baby's life don't teach and train and raise up that child, that even though a black psychopath killed your daddy, it's not about skin color. If the mama and the people that's in that baby life don't teach that child that, that child can grow up spiritually deformed. That child can grow up spiritually tormented. And then what happens is it becomes another generational thing. From one generation to the next, from one generation to the next, because the parents have not trained up the children. And the parents, their parents have not trained them up. They trained them to hate. It is a learned behavior. And it goes even much deeper because it's a spiritual thing. It is a spiritual thing. And to break the cycle of hatred, in order to break the cycle of hatred in America, we're going to have to learn how to fight with our spiritual warfare, our spiritual weapons. But I'm going to tell you this, because another daughter, she said, we was dialoguing, talking a little bit about what's going on in America today, and she was saying that God don't want people separated. God want people unified, is what she said. And I said, yes, that's true.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But you got to understand this. The Bible says, when they cry peace, woe unto them. Everybody trying to have peace, but you don't understand that the scriptures must be fulfilled. I'm not saying don't seek peace. No, that's what I'm not saying. I'm saying if you're going to seek anything, seek God.
Yes.
Because God is the God of peace. We're trying to seek everything else.
Amen.
We're trying to seek everything else. We're trying to seek the political arena. We're trying to pick a president. We're trying to come up and march and have our hand and fist in the air and say black power. The Caucasian people trying to do what they do and put who they want in office. The black people trying to do what they want to do and put who they want in office.
Yes, yes.
This thing is much deeper than a political thing. And you got to understand this. There will never be total peace in this world. It said when they cry peace, sudden destruction. The Bible says this. In the last days, in Revelation, when they cry peace, sudden destruction shall come upon them. The Bible also says this. Jesus said, he said, I come not to bring peace, but I come to bring a sword. This is coming from our God. This is coming from Jesus Christ. He said, I come not to bring peace. I come to bring a sword. So when you talk about unity, yes, God wants to unify, but we would never be totally unified because the scriptures must be fulfilled. The best thing for us to do as saints is learn how to pray and learn how to fast because this thing is spiritual. I want to read. Let me open up my Bible a little bit more to Joshua. Joshua 5:13-14. Joshua 5:13-14. If you understand Joshua's life, Joshua was a man of war. And it says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? It said a man with a sword in his hand. That man was an invisible man. That man was an angel of God. This thing is race issues are invisible issues. And it says in verse 14, and he said, nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord. Here it is now. It says, but as a captain of what? The host of the Lord. I am a captain of God's army. And it says, and now I have come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and he what? He worshiped him. He worshiped him. He worshiped him. Do you understand this text right here? Joshua is about to go with the Israelites into battle. He sought God, and he fell on his face, and he began to worship. Do you understand it's going to take more than the rallies, more than the churches holding hands and having these events? It's going to take the church to fall on their face and begin to truly worship God.
Amen.
It's going to take the church to worship God. It says, look at this right here. I really want you to take a look at this. This is Joshua. He's about to go into battle. It says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there was over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us? We got to get to a point where we got to ask God, are you for the black people? Are you for the white people? Who are you for? And whoever are you for, God, I want you to stand up and show out. God is going to reply, I'm not for the black people. I'm not for the white people. I'm from all people who say my name. I'm from all people who are covered under my blood. I'm from all people who worship my Father.
Yes. Amen.
Understand this.
Thank you, Jesus.
It says in 14, and he said, no, but as a captain of the host of the Lord, now I am come. And he said, I come as one of God's angelic generals. He said, and the Bible says, Joshua, what? He fell on his face to the earth, and he worshiped. Instead of holding these picket fences, we need to bend that knee.
Yes.
Instead of holding these picket fences, we need to push back that plate.
Yes.
We got to pray, people of God. In this hour, it ain't about politics. In this hour, the race issues are invisible issues. It's about the invisible things of God. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not what? Are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. How are we going to pull down a stronghold if we don't even know the weapons that God has given us or how to use them?
Amen.
How are we going to fight a battle when we don't even know the weaponry that we hold?
Yes.
Man.
Yes. Mamas are crying because their sons died.
Yes.
Daddies are crying because their sons died. But we got a weapon. If we would just learn to use that weapon, and it's called the name of Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
All of the you see this stuff in the news about cops beating on black people and all of that stuff been happening to get publicized. But if you grew up in Inglewood or Roseland in Chicago, that was a norm. Seeing people get, or you yourself targeted, getting smacked in the face by a cop, getting stumped out, seeing people get strangled, that's nothing new. It's just now being publicized.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's just now being publicized in the media because people got smartphones and technology now. But it's been happening. Unfortunately, we won't talk about all the stuff that's been happening, but it's been happening. And I say been happening, I'm bringing this up because even way back then, they was doing marches and stuff and protests, but it's going to take more than that. If you ain't seeing a change with all these protests that's taking place, then it's something that we need to be doing different.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
I got a text message early this morning from my mother. She said, yeah, I forgot to tell you that your baby cousin, he's 21 years old. He was shot 14 times last night.
Jesus.
14 times last night. Glory be to God that he's going to make a full recovery.
Hallelujah.
But this thing is deeper than that. If I ask y'all on this phone, how often do you fast and pray? If we took a poll even in America and for the people that call themselves Christians and say, how much do you fast and pray? I guarantee most of the people would say, I ain't fasting and praying. I ain't denying myself. I don't want to do that. I've gotten those type of responses. Bible says if my people, which are called by my name, will do what? Will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. How do we humble ourselves? Through fasting and praying.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
We got some of the greatest weaponry. We got the Bible. We got the Word of God.
Yes.
We got the blood of Jesus.
Thank
we
you.
Got the power of God. We have fasting and praying, but we don't even want to do it.
Hmm.
We the only country.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
We got fat people and skinny people in America. Meaning we got plenty. We got plenty, and actually, on the flip side of it, most of us, when we say poor, we're not really poor, and especially compared to how people live in other countries.
Amen.
Our refrigerator is stocked. You can go if you got $2 in your pocket to go buy Popeye's chicken, then you doing a whole lot better than a lot of people in these third world countries.
Amen.
That's right.
Some people in these countries, that's why they're trying to get over here. A lot of people in Mexico trying to come over here because they know if I can work hard and earn $3 an hour, that's a living. That's a blessing for me.
Right.
Or $8 an hour, that's a blessing for me because I was making over 50 cents over in my country.
Amen.
Oh, my God.
We are fat. We don't want to push back the plate. We don't want to fast and pray. And this is why America is in this state. Fasting and prayer will crucify your flesh. It will get you out of your flesh. You won't be so quick to snap on people and have a black attitude, have a white attitude, have a Latino attitude. You won't be so quick to get in your flesh and want to raise up again. You will be humble, and it also open up spiritual doors for God's blessing and his provision to come in your life.
Yeah.
If you look at your family, if killing's going on through your family every time you look up, then maybe you need to take a stand as the head of your family and begin to fast and pray for your family.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Race issues are invisible issues. Let me read Matthew. If you got your Bibles, turn 10:19 through 23. Matthew 10:19-23. I want to show you something real quick. Matthew 10:19-23. This is Jesus speaking, our Messiah. He says, "But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak." And another version, I like it. It says, "When they arrest you," oh my God. When they arrest you, take no thought what you deliver or take no thought what you shall do or what you shall speak, for it shall be given to you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. My God, did you just hear that? When you are arrested, when you are arrested, when the police pull you over, don't take no thought of what you're going to speak. But begin to let the Father speak through you in wisdom. Begin to not just get attitude and snap out on these people that's already nervous and they looking for a reason to kill you.
Amen.
Let the Spirit of God take control of you. But most of us can't let the Spirit of God take control of us because most of us ain't in the Spirit. This is why it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall most of us are humbling down. We want to show somebody we tough, and that's why we getting killed in these streets. This thing, race issues, is not a visible issue. Is not a natural issue.
Yeah,
it's an invisible issue. It's about the invisible things of God. Don't you understand it? But we can't get to that point until we learn how to humble ourselves.
We know this word has truly empowered you for this week.
And if you want to activate this word and manifest this word into your life, visit our website and sow into it. The website is www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .com, not .org, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. That is www.kci.world. As always, we are speaking life over you, and we are excited about your
now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name.
This has been your weekly supernatural word of empowerment from
the Generals.